would force them to actually ask these questions, you know. So my oldest is Yaffa Zain, and you know, she has in her first name, Yaffa is the city in Palestine that was built by the Canaanite Arabs prior to any Hebrew migration or anything like this, into even thousands of years ago. And you know, it means beauty and strength, and she has to, you know, explain it when people ask, what does this mean? And you just have to, you know, just by telling the child this since they're born, they're gonna quest that knowledge. And the same with my little one. Her name is Saja Bisan, and it's Saja means, you know, calm woman that thinks her decisions out. And Bisan is another city in Palestine where, you know, it's also where it's which means a place and a person who you can have fun with, you know. In general, I mean, I started from that point, and I have the news running all the time. Even though they're children, they've seen everything that has happened in the world directly from the places, and they ask every day. I got shocked in the last, couple of months. The oldest, Yaffa, she'd come back from school, and she'd ask for me to put the news on. And I'd be like, but you have, you know, homework. And she's like, what? You don't want me to know what happened in the world today? And so, you know, it's different if she was asking to watch cartoons or something like this. But you're a parent and you're hearing your kid ask you that. Then you're like, okay, maybe I went a little bit too far.
As a parent of two, as you know, a preteen or whatever, do you find, like, how do you find the awareness of these children now? Of this generation?
It is all upon us, you know, to do more as parents. You know, we just like we can't depend on the system for anything else. We know that as people of ethnic and linguistic minorities, people who are colonized, then, you know, you can't depend on the school or on the system and the mainstream media that is imperialist and colonialist to teach your child what is happening in the world. So if there's an intervention as a parent that you should do, it's specifically on the issues of social justice, you know. You don't have to be a hard parent on the kids' play habits and so on. If you actually take your time on the social justice, everything else will follow. The kid will be inspired to stay true to humanism as they grow.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, you know, the whole point of today is that, you know, is as you said, we're fighting imperialism, the whole, you know, colonialist behavior. We're talking about systemic racism. I mean, I try not to. Racism is something that kind of fallen out of my vocabulary. I just look at intolerance as a whole at this point, you know, and especially being a young black male, I understand that intolerance is something that my community plays as a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? So, you know, we want to combat intolerance while in many ways, you know what I mean, holding to a certain intolerant attitude and behavior ourselves at times, right? But the one thing that I do understand is that anything that we go through, any mindset, any thought, any behavior, is generally like inbred, right? It's generally something that comes from home or comes from school or comes from your background or comes from whatever. And I find that a lot of parents leave it on this colonial system to try to rear their children and rear children of color, you know, and open their eyes to certain systemic or certain atrocities in history, which, come on, I mean, if we already know that they are the problem or that they are a cog in the entire wheel of the mission to take our minds, as you said, right? The system is wants me to believe that I am the problem. So they want me to question, well, did my sister Denisha do something wrong? You know, maybe did is there something that she could have, maybe if she like wore her dreadlocks up and, you know, she tucked them away, or maybe if she you know, wasn't dressed from top to bottom in black or something like that. You know, it's, I find that we trust too much in the behavior of others, and we think that the system encapsulates every individual that's in that system. And just because we call it school, we fail to realize that we have to question who's teaching our youth at school, right? So I have this, like, I have this struggle with, as I come into my, you know, my more mature years and think about family planning and stuff like that, do I want to send them to an actual establishment for school? Do I want to homeschool them? You know, I know that there, I live in a country, at least now, for now, I have the option to homeschool my children for now, right? But then if we're not aware of what's happening on a daily basis, if we're not reading the news, as your daughter said, right? If we're not turning the news on in the house, my mom used to turn the news on every single day, and it wasn't even on purpose. It was just the TV was on. This is what you do in the Caribbean. You know, we're from St. Vincent in the Caribbean. Every day you come home from school, you get your chores done.
Good afternoon. You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:05, and you are listening to a very special 70th anniversary broadcast from Radio Free Palestine, which KB was taken part in as a collaboration internationally before. We are here recognizing the 70th anniversary of the NAPCA, or catastrophe, for those who are Palestinians and the massacres that have occurred recently. Many countries and continents are participating around the world in this very special stream. I'd also like to take this time to let you know that the programs that you listen to on KBOO, including this one, have been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grindle's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grindle's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. And now back to Radio Free Palestine.
When is the next bomb falling? When is the next war going to start? When is the next invasion going to happen? And which, you know, which militia is going to be sent on you? Which dogs are going to be let loose by the empire? And so I remember, you know, the house in every room, almost there was a radio at those times, you know, 80s, more radios. There's one TV in the house, but there's multiple radios. And, you know, in one radio, we'll be listening to Radio Monte Carlo in Arabic. And another time, it's another, you know, it's running BBC. Another is Voice of Cairo, and, you know, whatever it is. And that was your life. You know, the most illiterate person in the most rural place in Syria and or India, you know, would go down to the coffee shop every day, and the corner coffee shop, and call a boy and give him 10 cents, say, please read me the newspaper. You see, the most illiterate person in India and anywhere in the world that they call third is more educated about world history and world politics than the most, you know,
affluent, richest.
Yes, here.
Person here, yeah.
So I felt that I needed to put my kids in that, and I had the fear, you know, with them being living here, you know, having even to just the only image that they have of their people, you know, my people, is death, war, and violence. And so for a long time, I was like, okay, I need to put this in front of them and then address it in the house. But they have to see it. They cannot be shielded from it, because other people would shield their children from this stuff and not be able to explain to them, and then let the world explain it to them, meaning CNN and Fox, when they get out of your house.
You know, we're talking about, you mentioned CNN and Fox, and I'm like, it reminds me of my brother Nas, you know what I mean, doing his breakdown of what it was, you know what I'm saying, what the TV is bringing into our environments, right? And the fact that we leave everything up to you know, once again, not to school, but it's also like, you know, the commercial draw, social media. You know, our kids are like sitting down, they're drone to their phones, and we no longer monitor in the same way, right? Because we feel that if we monitor our children too much, it's intrusive. Right, we feel that like we're breaking their, you know, there's a certain
amount. Yeah, but you let Facebook and the CIA monitor
our children. You see what I'm saying? There's this level where it's like, you know, we don't want to monitor our children. We don't want to monitor what they're reading. We don't want to necessarily monitor the information that's coming into them, right? But then we're allowing them to be monitored on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, if we start, it's more than just, you know, creating an environment of reading the news or anything like that, right? I think it has to be this holistic approach, right? Where, you know, we got to start teaching our children about what they're eating. We have to start teaching our children about, you know, even if they want to watch certain pop culture things. You know what I mean? Black Panther, cool, no problem. But use it as a moment to educate.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Use all of these things. You want to take them to Disneyland? No problem. Use it as a moment to educate. Even if there's nothing to be taught through the mouse, right? Let them earn their trip to the mouse. You know what I mean? Through doing certain things that build their awareness, that build their spirit, that build their, because, you know, all the old folks that are listening to this program right now, if we're actually speaking about solutions right here on the community takeover of, I'll say Montreal Sessions, I'll say shout out my Soul P fam. This is RFP 2018. You know what I'm saying? Ramadan's about to jump off. You know, Leif is looking at me telling me I'm looking a little sparse and stuff, but you think I'm going to look like in 40 days, bro?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In 40 days, whew. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna be coming through for some of that. What do we
iftar food? You know, the breaking the fast festivities. People
exactly.
Stuff themselves.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we understand that within building this awareness, it has to come in this like holistic approach at this point for us as a people to just be able to like really move these solutions forward, because that's what we're talking about, is solutions, and the solutions happen in our future.
And you're doing it in Calmunity with the education of musical education that you're doing, just by interacting with all these artists over the last 15 years, bringing in this love and unity and toward, you know, in the heart of your activities. So you could imagine how much that spread within the community here in Montreal. And I think, you know, we need to listen to more of that music right now.
I was like, you know what? I think we got some KVC heating up, because, you know, on this special takeover, need I fail to mention that in the next 50 minutes, my brothers are going to be heating up Petit Compass for you guys, right? Because we got our weekly Tuesday nights. If you guys don't know, Community Vibe Collective is Canada's mightiest urban music collective. We just had our first Black Arts and Music Week celebrating 15 years of Community, what we like to call live organic improv. We are a collective of about 100, over 100 artists, musicians, vocalists, spoken word artists, rappers, dancers, DJs spread out amongst the world. You know what I'm saying? So shout out everybody that is listening from their corner, whether it's Peru, Senegal, Sudan, America, wherever you are right now. You know what I'm saying? We love you. We've been blessed to be able to be out here in this seat right now. And every Tuesday and Sunday night, we have these little experiences for you that we like to bring on a weekly basis. They've been going on for 15 years. Tonight, you could catch us at Petit Compass 57 Prince Arthur for KVC Tuesdays. We got a collective and a bevy of musicians that are going to be in there, and they're going to be dropping sounds that sound a little something like this. We're going to deviate to a little bit of Community Vibe, and we'll come back with this amazing conversation. Leif was like, I didn't want to be in the hot seat, but look at him, man. Like, he's TV ready. He's TV ready. All right, we're gonna hear about the Children of the World by from Janice and the Community Vibe Collective. Collective. All right, this is CKUT 90.3, the RFP Takeover. We'll be right back.
can't you tell that I'm lost? Oh Lord, oh Lord, tell me where am I going? Can you hear my voice? Can't you see that I'm lost? Oh Lord, oh Lord, tell me where am I going? Can you hear my voice? Can't you see that I'm lost? Oh Lord, oh Lord, tell me where am I going? Can you feel my pain? Tell me who should I trust? Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Yes, baby.
Parce que tout dépense que je peux une scène. True story. Total, you gotta lose something. Now baby, j'pense pas dans zone. J'pas au bord et j'vois juste pas un apéro. Le last blunt and I'm gone. J'pas où j'm'en vais, d'où est mon ball. Et nigga, j'pense que j'suis fucking insane in the brain. We made it, mais moi j'travaille still salaire minimum. Sorry babe, j'pas dans zone.
C'est d'un fou stumble. M'a tout donné, pas j'ai tout volé. Comme Corp Johnny, le tout. Run, run. Don't test me, essaye juste de passer ton corps. Run, check. J'suis pas sur mes passés pour passer mon tour. Run, run. Tellement d'avant, j't'ai dépassé d'un tour. Run, aïe. Même avec des Nike, il est passé encore. Check, run. So j'attends mon avance, m'a dépensé d'un coup comme. Yeah, all in one, automatic, pardon me.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, tell me where am I going? Can you hear my voice? Can't you see what I've done? Oh Lord, oh Lord, tell me where am I going? Can you hear my voice? Can't you see what I've done? Oh Lord, oh Lord, see. Tell me where am I going? Can you see what I've hated? If hate is made of my love. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh Lord, oh Lord.
One more time.
Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Conquer my destiny.
Let's bitch, bitch, man.
But if there's other fish is in the sea, Saint-Marie, Mère de Dieu, priez pour nous pêcheurs.
Amen.
Priez pour nous pêcheurs.
Assez.
Priez pour nous pêcheurs.
Yeah.
Puis si jamais on vend ce joint-là dans une pub, priez pour qu'ils nous pêchent.
Win some, lose some.
Mais au bout du compte, dis-moi qui ça profite.
Gone.
Somebody with a shadow plus one qui m'attendait dans le lobby.
Oh Lord,
just envoie le nom dans la tonne, je m'efface. Cause Lord only knows combien de temps it'll last. I mean, fallait je le fasse. Cause who will be left when I look in the glass?
Nobody,
à part une image de nobody. Dabbing a blast. Same song, you win some and then you lose some. Then I'm gone.
Yeah, 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 praise is in the name of the Most High. Haile Selassie. Rastafari. Yo, so we said, Rasta, we represent one God we serve. Who God bless, we say no man curse. These days they say the Arabs are the worst, but think about it, who gave Osama's power first? And how could they lease a diamond trade arms for medicine that killed 500,000 Pitney in the end? And where's the native Indians? Where y'all been sending them? This word government and Satan is a synonym. They've been suppressing our Lord and using our swords and tainting our youths in a hospital ward. Oh Lord, do they have no conscience? How could they sleep at night? They're killing Nubian youths while they're asleep at night. Pay this regard for life. Colonel Selassie. Oh Jehovah, is the time to die. Here's a cry for a cry, a blood for a blood. It's time to get it out your eye and nah. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You can even try to close your eyes. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You could even try to fly away. Yo, yo. Schwarzenegger's a Nazi, my people watch me. The skull and bones you sport and it's Satan in US property. That shit's the order of death, found on the crest of every SS officer's dome and chest. Jah, bless those who blinded by media propaganda. If you free, put your hands up, you there, stand up. This ain't freedom, we are living in handcuffs. Just like the Mexicans, they're fitting a banner. The human population's obsolete, so while y'all skeet skeet, they put a military cops on my beach street. This is the world that we built, we let them pillage for silk. Then watch them put antibiotics in milk. The same company that gave Agent Orange to Viet. Prince was right writing on his cheek, we slaves and I see it. Mary was married with kids after prisoner was Christ. Before justice came, the Chinese ain't rise to the life of parable. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You can even try to close your eyes. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You could even try to fly away.
It's all about love, it's all about beauty. Y'all niggas too thugged out for that shit? Yeah, fuck you then. You know what I'm saying? We about to correct the world. How could you correct the world? How could you save the world? Save yourself. You know what I'm saying? It starts from within, dog. I mean, that's some shit that I'm learning right now. It's a conscious effort, day to day, you know what I'm saying? Because I said the shit that we consume. It's all about brain food, dog. You know what I'm saying? Fuck just the shit that we eat and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? You gotta decipher the information that you getting. Accept everything, believe nothing. Words of a wise man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't here to preach to you. Fuck what my name is. You don't gotta listen to me. I told you that already. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this ain't our land. This ain't our places. You know what I'm saying? Why don't they give it back to the natives? Why they got Mohawks fighting for land and shit? You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no right to this shit. Y'all wanna build golf courses and shit. Fuck that shit. You know what I'm saying? Just know your boundaries. Know where you stand, dog. No. Who really? Who's the rightful owners of this, man? You know what I'm saying? What's your religion, dog? Nah, for real. What's your religion, dog? I'd like to know that. You know what I'm saying?
There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You can even try to close your eyes. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You could even try to fly away.
Understand the world. Through conscious projection, which is a scanning system.
Anger and hatred. Because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Yes, 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 yes. As you heard, the revolution will not be televised. Yeah. It will be live and direct in your ears right here on CKUT 90.3 FM for the RFP KVC takeover. Yo, we making this sound like WWF because you hear the little highlight on the mic. You see me? You understand? Father Zibs is in the area now.
You know?
You see me?
Don't know.
I know. Yo, you see? The revolution's trying to keep you away. You know what I'm saying?
You know how it go, man.
They understand when we link, man. Yo, this place is on fire.
Bridging.
But later is greater.
Yo. Can you hear me?
Of course we could hear.
Yeah, man. You know, like, the story continues as the struggle, my brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid of the fire. And that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's set in such a way that when you hear the truth, you say, nah, man, that's ridiculous. Nah, it's not so. It can't be right.
I know you.
You know? It's like my historian said to England and them a long time ago, give back all the things you take. They say, well, if we give it back, we wouldn't have anything. So if you don't understand what we're dealing with, because even in that, the story that they told us about roots, Alex Haley's roots, you know, we grew up in the 70s watching that series. That thing was a lie. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was a lie. The man settled out of court with a white author who wrote a book called The Africans that he plagiarized.
They're telling us, so, yo, the slavery was going on in America 200 years before they brought over the Africans. And you know who they were enslaving? It's I and I. When I say I and I, I'm talking about the black indigenous people of North America, of the Caribbean, of South America, because everywhere they went, people were black. So North America was no different. Seeing? They call us Indian. Yeah, we are Indians. We are Negroes. We are black. We are colored. All of that. We're the same people. Now they call them African American. It's a misnomer. They're not African American. They are the indigenous people of North America. What a story. So you catch that in Palestine and you see what go on? It's nothing different. So it's hard for Canadians, Americans, South Americans who call themselves maybe Latino to identify at certain times with the story because they've been given a lie. It's like when they brought over the Irish to North America, the most abused white people in that side of the world, aside from the Slavs, where the word slave come from. When they invented this thing called white people, and the Irish realized, like, wow, we got to notch up above some people. Yeah, we'll take it and abuse just like everybody else. So watch what they say. The fire is the truth.
You understand? The fire is the truth.
It will burn you.
That's what we have to
bathe them in. But that's a cleansing.
That's what we have to bathe them in. You understand?
Yeah, man. That's the cleansing.
And, you know, that's why, you know, right here, we decided to come through and, you know, offer some community-ness to what you built here, Laith. You know what I mean? I got to definitely thank you, shout you out, you know, and the entire Radio Free Palestine movement and crew, the family that, you know, allowed for this space, allowed for this fire, allowed for these voices, your vibes. I mean, you know, when we, let's not even beat around the bush, my brother. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into it quickly, you know what I'm saying? But when Laith sent me the first inquiry, you know what I mean? Because he was talking to my partner, Jason. Shout out the founder of Community, you know what I mean? Who, you know, has a great heart and, you know, he wants to be involved in everything. So, you know, when people knock on the door, he's like, yo, I'm going to let you right in. And, you know, I'm kind of being the director. Being the director of Community, sometimes I got to, you know, sift out certain, you know, the certain inquiries and stuff. And when I got Laith's inquiry, I was like, okay, well, what's going on? You know, and he was like, well, we taking over the radio. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Wait, hold on. He was like, dude, no, we taking it over, man. We coming in. Yo, trust me, man. Like, understand that anybody that thinks that they're just going to hold a corner is going to be a casualty. So it's either you getting down with this ride right now. And I was like, yo, brother, hold on, you know what I'm saying? CKUT was gracious enough to grant us with a little time slot, you know, from 3 to 5 p.m. Through the month of May in celebration of 15 years of Community Music Week that was going down, since it was such an exemplary action on, you know, just the black community, you know what I'm saying? Because fiscally, we've been kind of suffering out here, especially as the Anglo community, you know? So when I got your fire as a fiery individual, I was like, wait, hold on. I got to defend Community's fort.
Yup, my corner.
You know what I'm saying? I got to defend my fort because, you know, this is the black community's hour right here. This is our little corner right here, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we were granted this space and, respect. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that we hold our space, you know what I mean? So I was just like, look, I'm not trying to pit marginalization versus marginalization. We literally said those words, you know what
definitely,
I mean?
Yes.
And it was amazing because in this conversation of two fiery individuals that are ready to go to war for their cause and be like, yo, I ain't budging. We literally, like, in seconds, like, just found love, like, just found our solidarity and were able to see eye to eye and come up with this plan to be able to say, okay, how are we going to fit this in? How are we going to make this movement work? And, you know, the conversation was fire and it was passionate and we were talking about, look, we got to represent the Palestinian people and I got to represent the black folks and I got to... And we were like, you know what? We're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
We're literally talking about trying to bring solidarity to our trauma, Your vibes. Serious. Because I've been speaking. Serious. I've been speaking to the brother, my brothers and sisters in the community, and you know, shout out Farrell Freeman, OFC, and we had this conversation. I said, you know, what is it as black folks, as young black males, what do we think it is that links the diaspora, right? Because I am, my father's Haitian, my mother's from St. Vincent, my stepdad, for the lack of a better term, is Jamaican, right? I grew up with this tapestry. I grew up in NDG. I grew up on Walkley, which was literally the ghetto, the hub of black folks and people of color, immigrants. Everybody up and down the street was immigrants, right? Crime was moving up and down the street, right? We had police patrol, foot patrol. I grew up in a situation that most kids out here don't really relate to. I started understanding that, being that I grew up in a neighborhood in Montreal, and I went to what was predominantly an all-black school with a black principal, black teachers, you know what I mean, a black administration, right, down to the janitor, you know what I mean? So from the guy that you might consider had the lowest job to the guy that had the highest seat, they were all black. They all looked like me. I took that for granted as a young black male growing up in this situation. And then I started understanding that, you know, I have brothers and sisters that grew up in the suburbs or that grew up in this inner city, but they went to schools that were predominantly white. Oh, yeah. Or that were pretty affluent or whatever the case is. And even though we talk about our struggle, because I'm sure that Zibs just came on with his fire and many people might not even relate with the conversation that he's having right now. And I was like, what is it that connects us as a people? You know what I'm saying? And my brother Farrell said, you know, that's a hard one, Tarili, you know, and we kick the ball around, you know what I mean? All kind of different things. And I said, you know, I'm not saying I'm right, but for me, what it comes down to is our trauma. Your vibes. The it struggle, comes down, man, to the struggle that we've all, yeah, been through. Yeah, and it, man, doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter what, yeah, part, what continent we represent. It doesn't matter what we look like or whatever. And then that's what, as people of color, whether you are Lebanese, you are Indian, you are Pakistani, you are Syrian, you are Australian, you are, right? Once you have dealt with trauma, you have dealt with trauma, right? We're not looking at the studies to understand that children in the inner city, children in Brooklyn, children in Queens that are going to these inner city schools, when they test the schools, the mental illness, the PTSD, the bipolar disorder, you know what I'm saying? I was 6 years old when I witnessed my first violent crime. I grew up in a situation where all I seen was, or all I heard on a regular basis was about drugs or, you know, police sirens, prostitution, fights going on. I was 7 years old watching kids get, like, watching grown men get thrown through, like, plate glass windows like it was a movie. You know what I'm saying? And everybody looked like me. You see what I'm saying? So it's like I grew up in a situation where I understood the struggle and my trauma as an internal, as an internal vibes. You understand? So that's why, as I said to you earlier, like, you know, I don't really measure racism. I measure it as intolerance. And I try to measure it as something to say, well, my solution to this whole thing, as I've been asking you for your solution, you know what I mean? My solution to this whole thing is really being able to combat that soul word right there. Your vibes? It's like we cannot try to exercise a certain level of decorum as people. We can't try to, like, heal as a people. You know what I mean? Because us as black folks, I'm speaking from the black community's perspective, and I'm sure that Zibs will chime in on this. Us as black folks, we have a lot of awareness and learning to do outside of just ourselves and becoming, understanding what's happening to the indigenous population, to the Latino population, to the Arab population, so that we could start understanding our struggle. You understand? So that we can start kind of leveling it out, and then we can start coming to a playing field as soldiers together. Zibs, you know, I was telling them about the power of communication, mm-hmm, that we, you know, strengthen with community. And man, you could chime in on this, you know what I'm saying? Of how, as a community, to bring about this healing, right? No matter what you look like, Chinese, Lebanese, black, whatever the case is, we need to communicate.
There's two things we have to play, and this is a part of what is happening right now here, and we have to always keep in mind, you know, Radio Free Palestine wouldn't be successful if it wasn't able to, number one, address all the other communities that are living the same realities of colonialism and imperialism and all the discrimination and that comes with that, and the oppression that comes with that. And this is more so because we are in diaspora. We are in, you know, we're not in our homelands here. There is no way for a Palestinian to be able to get, you know, Canadians, regular white Canadians,
regular folks
to stand on our side or understand what we are, we without the help and the aid and the understanding of all the other world majority people. This is one I like better than people of color. World majority people. That's what we are, indigenous peoples of the world that have been living this colonial war for the last 600 years. And so we have, you know, Radio Free Palestine wouldn't be able to be successful if, you know, black communities, Latino communities, indigenous communities that didn't come on Radio Free Palestine and discussed the similarities in our struggle and how we can solve them. And this is true for all of us, world majority peoples.
And to bring about awareness, you know what I'm saying? As I was saying, Zibs, you know what I mean? It's about the communication, you know?
Well, it comes really down to that, the stories that are being told, you know. We're dealing with false heroes, and no matter whether we like it or not, you know, from child, especially if you grew up in North America, you seeing the people who they push to you as the heroes. And when you check it, those are the doghearts, those are the colon, those are the imperialists, and those are the people who hate us and were unapologetic about that. Now that the phase have changed as far as political correctness, you're not hearing the truth the way it is, but really and truly, the stories are being told of the falsehood, and these stories are told to keep us divided, make us think that, okay, the Palestinians have a different story from the people in Chiapas, or, you know what I'm saying, in Chile. It's the same story. It's the same onslaught of imperialism. And the only way we can really do that, like you say, is really and truly to communicate and to really stop for a moment. And instead of like me, it's we, or like Rasta say, it's I and I. The reflection. You gotta see the brother in the person across the room from you. Not only when you're in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? So this is the struggle. And I love it when we can sit down and parley, and even if we get vexed, get mad and whatnot, that's the beginning of something. Then everybody in their corner thinking, well, you know, those people are like that and those people are like that. These are the things that we need to break down.
You know, we're talking about the strength of community and what we do as a collective, you know what I mean? And how we, you know, how we bridge this divide. And I know Laith was gracious enough to give us, you know, to ask us to come down here and share some of that magic. And, you know, I have a magical man.
Gracious enough to
in the building right now. I don't know if Father Zibs wants to grace us with a couple words, you know, I mean, that may exemplify this day. You know, I mean,
I can pull something.
We have one of Montreal's most electric poets in the building, you know, who had a great, great showing during the Community Music Week on our Double Eye celebration featuring Ibamar, Raging Fire, and Yard Core. You know what I'm saying? It was great.
Good afternoon. You are listening to KBOO Portland. You are also listening to Radio Free Palestine's 70th anniversary of their international broadcast commemorating the Nakba, or catastrophe of the Palestinian people. Four other countries and thousands of communities worldwide are participating in real time in this live stream. Artists, musicians, journalists, broadcasters, and more have been holding space for and shining a light on the issues impacting Palestine so severely. We go right now to the NAPCA March downtown with Jinka Soderberg. Jinka, are you with me?
Yeah, so there's about 150 people gathered in the South Park blocks right now. There was just a rally, a number of speakers talking about the Palestinian Nakba. and the protests that have been going on in Gaza and in the West Bank and around the world, in fact, yesterday and today, both with the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem and the commemoration today of 70 years of the Nakba. And I have with me Mohammed, who is from Gaza and was one of the speakers. The march is getting ready to start moving. It's a long march. It's to commemorate this Nakba and marching all the way to Dawson Park in Northeast. So, Mohammed, maybe you could talk a little bit about what you shared on the megaphone as far as the connections here in Portland and Gaza.
Yeah, so thanks, Jrinka, and thanks, Cable, for having us here. But so what's going on in Palestine and what we're doing on here in front of the Native American Center in Portland is we're not just mourning the people who were killed and injured yesterday in Gaza during the protests, but also we're mourning the Palestinian people who were killed and injured during the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people in 1948, when people have been expelled and forced to leave their houses 70 years ago. So what's going on in Gaza is like mostly devastating. So there was like more than 10,000 people have been injured in the last 6 weeks. More than 80 people have been killed, including medics, including journalists wearing the vest of journalism with a cold blood. Israel is facing these people, 20,000 people of unarmed people with live ammunition and exploding gunshots and bullets that's basically forbidden to use people. We are here in Portland marching, demanding three things. The first demand is we demand the right of return for the Palestinian people to go back to their ancestral land. We demand the end of the siege on Gaza immediately. And we demand the end of the occupation of Palestine. And we condemn the move of the Jerusalem, of the embassy, the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All of it.
So if people still want to join the march, it's going to go until 8:30. It's a long march. You can join at the World Trade Center at 6:30. There's different points along the way. You can look on Facebook under Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights for more information about the different stops. And people, if they are in Portland and want to join this long march, they can. Some people are carrying suitcases to symbolize the refugees that were displaced from their homes in 1948 and again in 1967. And then the march will end at Dawson Park with an iftar, the ending of the fast, and a potluck meal in the park for the first day of Ramadan, which is also today.
That's excellent. I understand that organizers are asking those joining the march to wear black in symbolic show of solidarity for those who have passed in the Palestine crisis.
Yeah, it's a day of mourning across the West Bank and Gaza, and this is in solidarity with that day of mourning. There was a Native American prayer to begin this march and rally, and to connect the struggles of the Native Americans here in Multnomah County and indigenous people across the world, including Palestinians that are struggling for self-determination for 70 years now.
I understand too that there was an earlier gathering at Senator Merkley's office organized by Jewish Voices for Peace to urge Merkley to speak out about what's happening in Palestine. Is there a chance for those attending this march to add their names to that petition?
Yeah, and in fact, people are still there outside the World Trade Center, and this march is going to join up with that rally and vigil, and then we'll march together across the bridge. So that's it's a connected effort between all of the Palestine Solidarity groups in
Okay. Great. And so one more time for our listeners, I know you've got a lot of a lot of marching to do. Where on Facebook can people find out about this event so that they can join the see what itinerary lines up with their schedule?
So it's on the page of Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, PSU. I believe it's facebook.com/PDXSuper. And that has the information about where the march will be and when. You'll see it snaking around downtown and then crossing, I believe, the Broadway Bridge and over to Dawson Park to get there by 8:30.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jinka, so much for reporting. That was Jinka Soderberg reporting from the NAPCA March. Now we're going to return back to Radio Free Palestine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jinka.
Thank you. And we just want the people to know that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you come through on a Tuesday night to Petit Campus, 57 Prince Arthur, you know what I mean? Every Tuesday.
Let's if
you
come down Montreal.
On a Sunday night, you know, to Café Résonance, 5175 Park Avenue, you know what I mean? I know it's a lot for you to remember, so you can check us out any day of the week on community.com and, you know, just find the information for yourself. But we just want you guys to know that it's all love, that it's solidarity, that you know, at the end of the day, we understand that we are one people, and we know that as much as we sit in these corners and we talk about, you know, our problems, whether it's Palestine or the black community or however many balls that we kicked around today, family and stuff like that, you know, the one thing that we really need to focus on in this day and age is communication and collective participation, which is what you witnessed today on CKUT 90.3 FM during the KVC RFP takeover. Leif, I really, really, really appreciate this moment that we were able to come through and really rock with you. You know what I'm saying?
Honored to have you, you know, been in the same studio with both of you. Such important anchors to the artistic you know, community here in Montreal that is working within principled art. That's what you're doing. Not only your words, your music itself, you know, even without one lyric in itself, that the artists here are principled to the art form. And this is the best face forward to what we want to show our community here to grow with Calmunity.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leif.
You know, and we, you know, you got to hear a bevy of Calmunity music. You know, you will be able to pull this from the archives anytime you want. You know what I mean? Well, as long as they got it loaded, you know what I'm saying? We definitely want to shout out Louise and the whole crew for giving us this opportunity to sit in. Definitely, I want to shout out my Soul P family for just, you know, allowing us the space to come in and take over these last 2 hours. You feel me? So, you know, you can log in next week, tune in next week to hear your regularly scheduled program. And also shout out the Health on Earth family that, you know, we kind of cut into their time as well. I'm trying to make sure that, you know, collect